We're busy with a series called Tuned In, Getting Your Prayers Onto God's Frequency. The question is, is there a link between the ask and the answer in my prayers, where often we feel like I ask but I don't get the answer? And does the Bible maybe give us some guidance as to increasing the likelihood of our prayers being heard and our prayers being answered? And that's what we're taking a look at in this series. Now, I think often we can battle with our prayer lives, and especially when it comes into what we want. Once there was a boy, his name was Johnny, related to John Muir. It was actually John when he was a boy. And what happened was, he really wanted a bicycle, and it was Christmas time, and so he went to his mom and he said, "Mom, can I please have a bicycle, a red one?" And his mom thought, geez, you know, he needed to learn some lessons here, because he's not being the most obedient of children, not at school or at home. And she said, "You know, I think you need to actually put this before Jesus. And I think you need to write Jesus a letter expressing your need for this red bike." So Johnny went up to his bedroom. He took out a notepad and he wrote a letter. And he said, "Dear Jesus, I have been a good boy all my life. Can I please have a bike, a red one? Your son, Johnny." And he looked at it and he thought, "Oh boy, she's going to see past that." So he rips it up and he starts again and he says, "Dear Jesus, I have often been a good boy. Can I please have a bike, a red one? Love, Johnny." And he looked at it and he thought, "Man, I'm not sure about this." He's going to see past this, and he sort of tears it up again. He writes it again. He says, "Dear Jesus, there's been an occasion or two that I've been obedient. Can I please have a bike? A red one. Johnny." I looked at that and he says, "It's not going to work." And he tears it up and he runs down to his mom and he says, "Mom, I feel a need that I need to go to church." And his mom just thought, "Man, this is awesome. He's getting it." So she says, "You can go off to church." So he runs off to church. He walks around the church and he sees this little statue of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He grabs it. He runs home. He goes upstairs. He takes out a notepad and he says, "Dear Jesus, I've got your mom. If you want her back, send a bike, a red one. Signed, you know who." You know, sometimes we go to extreme measures to get what it is what we want. And what it is that we want is not necessarily what is best for us or God's plan. And so in this series, we are trying to figure out, how do we get tuned in? How do I get my prayers onto God's frequency for, if maybe, the red bike? Now, in the first lesson, we learned that Jesus said he'll give us whatever we ask in His name, so that the Father may be glorified. I don't know if you guys can remember that. He said, "I'll give you whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified." And we learned that the chief end of our prayers must be the Father's glory. That what we ask is, Jesus will say yes to it, so that the Father may be glorified. And so if what I'm praying for, if me receiving that would glorify the Father, the promise is yes, you'll have it. If it will not, then the promise is not attached to it, and there's no guarantee that my prayer will be answered. In week two, we learned a little bit more about what it means to pray in His name. Now, who of you maybe thought a little bit more this week before you said, "I pray this in Jesus' name"? Okay, I think some of us might just be ending our prayers with amen. I say it and amen. And obviously we learned that when we say, "Well, I pray this in Jesus' name," what we're saying is that I pray this with, again, His will and His interests at mind. Because He's allowing me to use His name as His representative, and I'm making this request in His name with His will and His interest in mind. Also, we learn about the family union in terms of that my life is in union with His, and that is why I feel comfortable as His representative saying I ask this in His name. And because I take on His name, I'm saying that I give up my name, as in marriage, for the wife to the man, giving up my identity, taking on His identity, and therefore I ask this in His name. Why? Bottom line, so that the Father may be glorified. Today we're going to continue. We're going to see, are there any more links? Is there anything else that can help us as we study the Scriptures that will increase the likelihood, that will connect the ask and the answer? And in John 15, we find a very verse like that. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus says this one sentence that again rocks your prayer world. He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Let's take the first part. If you remain in me. Let's break that down. Remain in and me. Let's start with the me. It says, if you remain in me. Now, to fully understand the me and what it is that he was saying, you need to understand a bit of Jewish history. Over and over in the Old Testament, the prophets referred to Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, as the vine of God. You see it in passages like Isaiah 5, verse 7, that says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delights." Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, when he said, "I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock." If you read Ezekiel 15, you'll see that the whole Ezekiel 15 talks about Israel being the vine of God. And Isaiah 10, verse 1, it says, Israel was a spreading vine. In Psalm 80, "You brought out a vine out of Egypt," sang the psalmist, thinking of God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt. The vine had become a symbol of the nation of Israel. It was the emblem on the coins of the Jewish rebel army called the Maccabees. One of the glories of the temple in the Old Testament was the great golden vine upon the front of the most holy place, or the holy place, was a golden vine. And everyone knew and understood that somehow it is referring to Israel being the vine. The vine was part and parcel of Jewish imagery and the symbol of who Israel was. Now Jesus is saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. If you remain in me. Now to understand that and to understand the vine, we need to jump back to earlier on in verse 1. In John 15 verse 1, Jesus says these radical words. He says, "I am the true vine." I am the vine. In other words, Israel is not the vine. He's saying to them as Jewish people, "I am the vine. I am the true vine." And Israel is not. As a matter of fact, as you look at every reference of Israel being the vine in the Old Testament, they were referring to Israel being a degenerate vine. A vine running out of control and wild. Jesus saying to them, "You think that because you are part of the nation of Israel, that you are a branch of the true vine. But the nation of Israel is a degenerate vine. I am the true vine. The fact that you're Jewish will not save you. I need to save you. The fact that you're Jewish doesn't mean that your prayers will be answered. Only if you remain in me will your prayers be answered." Remain in me. Now, what does it mean to remain in me? Other translations translate this as saying, "Live in me, be in me, make your home in me." He's saying you have to be in a living and intimate fellowship with me. And when you are in living, intimate fellowship with me, ask whatever you wish. And will be given to you. If you're in a living, intimate fellowship with me, ask whatever you wish and will be given to you. How does this translate to us? I think like the Israelites, sometimes we think my prayers will be answered because I go to church. I'm part of the church. And so because I'm part of the church, because I'm Christian, my prayers must be answered. Because I pray, my prayers must be answered. Because I am religious, my prayers must be answered. Jesus saying, no, if you remain in me, if you're in living, intimate relationship and fellowship with me, ask whatever you wish, and your prayers will be answered. Earlier on this year, I don't know how clearly you guys can see from there, but earlier on this year, we sort of looked at what the early church fathers thought and learned this lesson. Let me just run it by you again. There's God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And then what the early church fathers believed was they described the relationship between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as perichoresis. You guys remember that? Perichoresis. And what perichoresis meant is that they were in a state of absolute joy, ecstasy, intimacy, mutuality, love, and oneness. And so they operated in that relationship between the three of them with absolute joy, ecstasy, intimacy, mutuality, and oneness. And it was called the perichoretic dance. In other words, the three of them, the Trinity, was in a perichoretic dance. They were constantly in that joy and ecstasy, intimacy, mutuality, and oneness. And they're calling us into that relationship, into that dance with them. That is why we were created. So effectively, Jesus saying, remain in me. Dance with me. And if you do, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. If you're in an intimate, living fellowship with me, if you are in love and with intimacy and ecstasy and mutuality and oneness with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you're connected in me, if you remain in me, not just know me, but remain in me as your first love, as your best friend, as the reason why you live, move, and have your being, ask whatever you wish. And will be given to you. Because we are in oneness and mutuality and love and intimacy. The second part of the verse, then he continues. He says, if you remain in me, and then listen to the second part, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. What does that mean? And my words remain in you. Could it be, and my words become a part of who you are? Because how do they remain in you? Only if they become a part of who you are. If you remain in me and my words become a part of who you are, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. If you remain in me and my words are taken up into your life, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. If you remain in me and my words become a part of how you live and how you pray, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Give ear to me, and I will give ear to you. Listen to God, and God will listen to you. The power that His Word has in your life is the power that your words will have in His life. Because what His words are to you is what He is to you and me. There is no distinction between Jesus and His Word. I cannot say, I love Jesus, I have time for Jesus, but I don't have time for His Word. We see this evolving from this very text. In John chapter 15, verse 4, he first started by saying, remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Then he jumps to verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Can you see it? Remain in me and I remain in you. Remain in me if you remain in me and my words remain in you. His words remaining in us is equivalent to Him remaining in us. The way we view His Word is a reflection of the way that we view Him. If we have an appreciation and respect for His Word, it means that we have an appreciation and a respect for Him. If we obey His Word, we obey Him. If we do not have time for His Word, we do not have time for Him. If we have time for His Word, we have time for Him. If we're serious about His Word, we're serious about Him. If we're not serious about His Word, we're not serious about Him. His Word must change us. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Through the years as we are Christians, His Word must start shaping who we are. And it's in the beginning as you start reading the Bible, you read some basic things and you learn that God has got some certain areas of guidance for your life. But that's as a young Christian. Then as we mature as Christians, the Word actually needs to become a part of who we are. It needs to remain in us so that it transforms us from the inside out. You cannot speak what you do not hear. In other words, the way that we learn to talk is by hearing, correct? We hear words and we're able to repeat it and speak it back to people. That's how we grow up as kids. So if you cannot hear, you struggle to talk. If I cannot hear, I'll struggle to talk. If I cannot hear God's will for my life, if I don't make His will and His Word a part of who I am, I'm going to be battling talking to Him and asking things in the right way. Am I saying that by any way or means that we need to be perfect to pray? Obviously not. The Bible says He is our Father in heaven. He is willing to listen. But the better we understand Him, the better we connect with Him, the better we are able to talk and speak His language. Because He remains in us. And His words remain in us. And we become more and more like the Son. And more we become like the Son, the more we remain in Him. And the more we remain in Him, the more His words will remain in us. And then He says, ask whatever you wish, and I'll be given to you. Remain in me, and let my words remain in you. And then ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. In John 15, verse 8, He continues, and He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, do you hear those words again? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 16, skip down. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, who of us have heard that passage before? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, who of us saw that this was the very next verse? Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, I've read the second part and I've read the first part, but I've never read them next to each other. He says, I've chosen you, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. When is then? Then is when we bear fruit. He says, when we bear fruit, when we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, then the Father will give whatever you ask in my name. Now remember this. I know some of us are going to be tempted to feel this. You're going to be tempted to feel that means I cannot pray at all. No, that's not what the Bible says. The promise is connected to that. Doesn't mean I cannot ask. But I cannot get upset with God or feel disappointed with God or feel mad with God because but you said you'll do it. I'm not getting this job that I want. I'm not living in the neighborhood that I want. I'm not getting the paycheck that I want. I'm not getting the husband or the wife that I want. And you are, why, Father? But there was no promise of those things. And then we go back to, but you said, whatever I ask in your name. He's saying, no, I've chosen you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See the connection as you study John 15. In John 15 verse 1, he begins saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Then verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, verse 8, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. What is the link between the ask and the answer? Remaining in him and letting his words remain in you. And when you do, you will bear much fruit. To the glory of the Father, so that you can ask in His name whatever will bring Him glory. Which brings us to the chief end of prayer. What is the chief end of prayer? Glory to the Father. The question then is, will I ever be able to pray this way at all? Will I ever get there? See, if you start living this way, you'll start praying this way. And when you start living this way and you start praying this way, what matters to God will start mattering to you. If you start living this way and you start praying this way, what matters to God will start mattering to you. What matters to God is eternity. What matters to you and me is here and now. What matters to us is what we want. What matters to God is what we need. And what is it that we need? We need to be with Him for eternity. That's what we need. What do we want? I want a better life. I want a successful career. I want to be happy. I want to be married. I want to be able to have great children. I want my children to become Christians. And I want us all to be able to sit around the Christmas dinner table and just enjoy Christmas together and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, and all just be happy. And God is interested in those things as they fall into the bigger picture of eternity. In this world, but not of this world. Where we will be foreigners that lives in this world, but we're not of this world. Where we will not desire what the world desires, but that we will desire what God desires. And what God desires is eternity with Him. A soul that will last long into the afterlife. Someone that will be connected with Him forever. So I think sometimes we pray for the wrong things with the wrong spirit because we misunderstand God. And then we misunderstand that God's greatest care is you as an individual. And His greatest care is that you would be with Him for eternity. And that's what He wants us to get tuned into. And that's what gets our prayers onto His frequency. Because when we think eternity and we think relationship with God forever, then we remain in Him and He remains in us. And when we think of eternity, we don't only remain in Him, but we allow His words to remain in us and transform us. And when we remain in Him and His words transform us, we bear fruit to the glory of the Father. And therefore, He says, then ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And my guess is that with that which you wish will most probably be something that will bring glory to the Father. I know these are big thoughts and big ideas. And all that I want to encourage us to do as a fellowship is that we will continue to pray and think, how do we get tuned in so that the Father may be glorified? God bless. Amen. Let's close in a prayer.